Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is Trust in the Lord. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. We're going to read from Psalms 37, 1 through 5. If you'll put your finger on those, we'll come back to them in a few minutes. We're going to do some prayers. What we do, I always do a song that gives everybody a chance to get into the get into the station and find the show and be able to hear the message this morning, folks. But this morning's song that I have for you is Trust and Obey. It's about a minute and a half long. Well, it's actually longer, but I'll cut it off at a minute and a half. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Okay, folks, I'm going to stop it there. I'm going to stop the song there, and I'm going to go right into the prayers that we have this morning, folks. As you know, there's many people having issues with the world and the things that are going on around us, so we need to pray for our friends, our family, and those that we meet along the way. And hopefully, somewhere along the way, you have the opportunity to witness, so I pray that you use great wisdom and do so when the opportunity strikes. But this morning's prayers, folks, Joanne and Dave Moore are traveling today. Well, I'm not sure if it was today or they've traveled, but they've gone out to New Hampshire to visit with their father, who's elderly. He's probably in his 80s, 80. I think they said that they're having a birthday for his 80th birthday. So let's pray for him for his birthday as well, that everything goes well with them to visit and have the opportunity to do that. Maria Capra Fulton's asking for prayer still for peace and harmony in her life, the things that are going on that are causing stress. Tammy Coates asked for senseless killings to stop across America and in the whole world, folks. You know, children are killing children for foolish, ridiculous reasons, whether it be because they were bullied or some other reason. To me, folks, I'm telling you, there's no reason to take a life unless your life is actually threatened. And that means they have to be physically threatening you right then and there. Not 2 days from now you go after them and take them out and kill them. God never intended that for that to be that way. I understand that sometimes you have to protect yourself and a life has to be taken. That's why we have people that are in the military that take and protect us from insurgents, from invasions, and things of such. So understand what I'm talking about when I say about killing. But let's pray for those children that they would just somehow, the Lord would touch their hearts and people would start sharing the gospel again and be able to teach the young children that these things are wrong. Lovis Noyce has asked for prayer for Pastor Robbie Locke. He's been fighting a staph infection in his finger, antibiotics twice a day for weeks at the hospital now, and it spread to his bone. It's now become part of a problem within the bone. So whatever's going on is pretty serious, folks. Please pray for Robbie Locke. Pray for my family, that all of us would work closer and do more for Christ, and that we wouldn't allow for the devil to have even a speck of room in our life. I saw a sign yesterday that said, if you give the devil an inch, and I was going by and I saw it, and all I could think is, if you give the devil an inch, he's taking over your life, folks. Don't even give him a speck of your time, because the minute you do that, then increases the negativity, the depression, all the things of the world. We start looking at the desires that the world has. So I pray that people would use great wisdom and avoid those things. But thank you, Father, for allowing us to share these prayers this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be able to get the gospel out and be able to do that for the last 7 or so years. Bless us with a good day and bless our soul with your word, Lord. In Jesus' name. Like I said, we're going to read from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And it says here in verse 6, in all thy ways, folks, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. That's one of the problems we have as people. We don't realize that in all of everything that we do, if we're a Christian and we acknowledge Christ, he'll carry us through those situations, be it whether it's an anxiety issue where we're concerned or worried about something, or something's troubling us or bothering us. Look to God and go, look, Lord, what are you trying to teach me with this? Have trust in him. Have faith in him, right? It says in all your ways. That means in everything you do, we should be thinking God's trying to teach us something, that this is happening for a reason. And when I do these things, I do them not for me, but I do them for God. Because if we look at the world wants us to think that we have to have all these things, and it creates a bunch of anxiety for us. It creates a bunch of problems for us. And believe me when I tell you, folks, I hear these excuses from people. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that. And well, when you think about it, you say, well, okay, is that something you're doing for the Lord, or you're doing it for your selfish own needs? That's how you got to look at it. Now, we all need to eat. We all need to sleep. We all need to have a bed to lay down in, a place to lay our head at night. And God provides that for us through, yes, to do something to gain it. Absolutely. But when we do it for the Lord, the way the Lord wants us to, he provides for us. I used to hear that when I wasn't a Christian. I was just like most worldly people, and I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I had no trust in the Lord. In fact, I used to say, I don't even believe in him, because if there was a God, blah, blah, blah. Well, there is a God, and he watches over me, and he protects me, and he provides for me. Every one of my needs are met. The problem for most of us as humans is, what is our need? Well, let's go back to trust in the Lord, and he'll provide those needs. Okay? So in that, I want to pass along this. It says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Your heart should be right with God. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't try to think outside or ahead of God. You can't outthink him. You can't outsmart him. You can't outwant. You can't outprovide. You can't outgive. But God can do things and provide for you and give you everything you need if your heart's right with him. In verse 6, it says, direct thy path. That means when you're going to do something, do it for the Lord. Don't do it for yourself. You know, you have to have trust. When I was a kid in school, I can remember this, right? We would take a phys ed class or gym, and there was a time where they said, pick your partner. Pick anybody that in the room here that you can pick as a partner. We're going to set up two-man teams, and it would be, at that time, it was mostly boys. The girls were in their own gym class. But there were times the girls were in a class, but a man would pick another man, or a boy would pick another boy, and he would say, pick someone that you can team up with. And then there were mats on the floor. Sometimes it was one or two, maybe three, but somebody would be on the mats and somebody would stand on the edge on the floor, and the gym teacher would say, all right, now I want you to stand in formation, one in front of the other, face to your back. And he'd say to the person in the front, I want you to lean back on your heels as far back as you can go, and I want the person behind you to catch you. Well, there had to be trust in that, or else the person behind you, if he wasn't there, you would fall, right? Even when we fall, Jesus is there to catch us. Now, we may think, well, we fell pretty hard, and now we're depressed, or we're having a bad time, or finances are bothering us, or whatever. But God has a purpose to teach us something, even when we fall. It's painful when we fall over and hit the floor. But when you have somebody behind you holding you, there's no pain involved. See, when you fall back in Jesus' arms, he catches you. What I'm saying this is, folks, is look, we can trust in the world, and it's going to fail us all the time. Oh, things may happen, and they may catch us from time to time, and they may be there and help us from time to time. But the bottom line is Jesus there waiting to catch you? That's what I'm talking about. That's the purpose of my conversation. Is Jesus there to catch you? He can't be there if you don't allow him in your life. If you don't choose him as your partner in life, as the person that's going to catch you, then how can you expect him to be there when you fall? If you're doing foolish things that are not of the Lord, that are of not God's will, then when you fall, you deserve to be in pain, correct? Because you chose the wrong partner. Choose the right partner and you won't have that problem. Now we're going to go on over here to Psalms. Psalms 37. This was something that I heard, I don't know, a week or so, I heard scripture being taught from. And it just weighed on my heart that I had to share it with everybody. 37, in Psalms, it says this. It says that, again, about trust, right? It says, Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, what was said there in the conversation that I heard was this. Everybody loves to hear this. They love to hear, delight thyself also in the Lord, and watch this. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Everybody wants the desires of their hearts filled. But you see, it goes on further to say this. You have to commit thy way, that means your way, unto the Lord. You have to commit your life to the Lord. If you want the desires of your heart to be filled, your heart has to be right. You have to be right with the Lord. You have to be doing the things that the Lord asked you to do. And you have to be willing to do the will of God. Not your own will, folks. Yeah, we have free will, there's no doubt. But I know for me, anytime I usually try to do my own free will thing, or I try to satisfy my heart with my own human desires, those desires don't turn out as good as I'd like them to. Oh, there's times they do, don't get me wrong. Every now and then something works out to my advantage that it's something I want, right? And again, I have to go, the Lord gave it to me. But if I don't commit myself to the Lord, who am I committing myself to? Or what am I committing myself to? The Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust won't corrupt, instead of laying down here where rust and everything else will corrupt and cause it to rot. In other words, don't be putting all your hope and your treasures down here on this earth. Your real treasures are in heaven. I have desires, just like everybody else. Every fleshly desire you can imagine I've had. The ones that work out are the ones that I do for God. Now let's go back to the top of verse of chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. That says don't concern yourself. Don't concern yourself with evil. Don't concern yourself with the ones that want to gossip, the ones that want to talk junk, the ones that want to go around cause trouble. Don't bother with that. If you're smart and you're wise, as it says, look at Proverbs. I'm going to show you something in Proverbs real quick once more. In Proverbs 1:7, chapter 1, verse 7, says, on the top heading right above that, it says, wisdom's foundation, the foundation, the fear of the Lord. And then it says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But check this out. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I was a fool. I was a fool wandering around thinking that I don't have to listen to no one, nothing, and I can do whatever I want because I didn't trust in God. I trusted in myself. You talk to many people that have a job today that go to an employer, and the boss says to them, you have to work Sunday. And the person says, but I'm a Christian. We don't work Sundays. And he says, well, if you don't come to work on Sunday, you'll be out of a job. Well, you have a choice to make. Do you really hold true to your commitment to God, or do you keep your job and worry about whether your family goes without a paycheck? And most of them today, and I'm not saying that's your own personal choice, you do as you choose. You go to work on Sunday. I'm not saying I didn't work on a Sunday in the past. I'm telling you right now I have, and I know I have. And I also felt guilty when I was in tune, in check, in my commitment to the Lord, because the Bible says if you're committed to Christ, you commit that day. You commit the Sabbath day, and some will fret with me. They'll get this big thing going on about whether it's Saturday or Sunday. And I'm not going to have that debate because that's not the conversation today. But here's the thought, and this is the word of God. It says in the Bible, I will know them by the ones that keep the Sabbath. So those that continue to keep the world's pattern of living and do as the world wants them to do, and again, it says not to do anything on a Sunday. We're to worship the Lord. We're supposed to spend time with him. I use the word Sunday, but the Bible calls it Sabbath day. Okay? He knows us by those that worship him on a specific day, specific period of time, because on the seventh day he rested, and he chose to rest because he wanted to spend it enjoying and worshiping the way we're supposed to. You have to take time out from our busy schedules, folks. We have 6 days that we do all those things, whether they be for ourselves, for the world, for our job, whatever. He asks, one day, worship me. It says it in the Bible. I'll know my children will know me by his voice. They will know him by worshiping the Sabbath day. Now, the trust in that is this. 2:37 in Psalms, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither away as green herb. Who's he talking about? He's not talking about those that believe in Christ. He's not talking about those that love the Lord. He's not talking about those that are committed or obey. He's talking about the evildoers. He's talking about those that are envious. And he's talking about the workers of iniquity. They'll be cut off. There will come a time. Only those that are committed, that aren't evil, that don't have a wicked heart, that aren't envious, that don't have iniquity hidden in their heart. They're not hiding anger. They're not hiding any kind of animosity. They're free of that because they've turned it over and trusted the Lord to take care of it. And look at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You see, we get to live here, we get to enjoy our life, we get to be fed, and all he asks us to do is be good. Do the right thing, trust in the Lord, obey his commandments, obey what he asks you to do. You have to decide this. I had a conversation with someone, I won't go into the exact portions of it, but what it came about was there was an issue about who you believe in. And I said, it all depends on where your heart is and who you believe in. Mine is, I believe in God. If I want to put someone else or something else first, then I'm no longer believing in God, and I make that other someone else the person I trust in, the thing I trust in, the object I trust in, whatever. But I put my heart in the Lord. So I put God before everything else. That's what you call trust. Because, yes, I do have desires of my heart. Yes, I do have things I'd like in my flesh. But I also know many of those things will bring me heartache someday. Or there's going to be a cost for it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That means everything, folks. He will bring your sorrows to pass. He will bring your work issues to pass. He'll meet your every need. He's not just going to leave you, folks. When I said trust in the Lord and do good means keeping the commandment of Christ to love one another. Treat people right. Don't talk bad about them. Don't be mean-spirited to anyone. It also means we are to trust the Lord. When things go wrong and or against the will of God, we should know that wickedness is what's driving that. The reason why we're going against God is because wickedness has creeped in and trying to cause confusion for us. And that's who does that? if you know anything about Scripture and you've learned something at some point about that, you know that the devil is the author of confusion. He loves to make you think, well, I got to have this, and he confuses you thinking you need all this stuff. And then before you know it, the devil's using that same stuff to make you keep on working to own it, keep on working to have it, instead of living a simple life, a frugal life, a life of a humble spirit, knowing that what is given to you is of the Lord. See, we end up worrying about how we're going to pay for it. We get anxious, oh my God, we're going to lose our home. Oh, we're going to lose our food. We've got to store up enough to keep in our cabinets to keep us going in case there's a world destruction. Y2K was a big issue, if anyone remembers that. Happened back in the 90s. Everybody was worried about the changeover of the computer in the year 2000. Everybody started getting ready at the end of 1990. What are we going to do when computers crash because the data on them didn't go into the year 2000? But guess what happened? Nothing. Except a lot of people made a lot of money off of that. You see, the devil did fine. He got everybody scared. Even depression, as hard as life gets, we got to remember, folks, we're going to face some depressing times. We're going to face some hard times. But you know what? Even if you're in the midst of a terrible disease, if you hold your head high and say, it's up to God, my time is running out, it's because I've served my time, I've done what the Lord asked me to do, or is it because my time is up and I never did what I was supposed to do? When I lay in my bed and the day comes that I'm going to die, I want to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready no matter what happens because I trust you now, I trust you then. And I will trust you when my eyes close from this world and I sleep the sleep of death and I end up in heaven. That's what real trust is in the Lord. No matter what happens to us, if I lost my grandchild or children today or all my children, all my grandchildren, all my possessions, just like Job, I must carry that trust to the end, right to my grave. That no matter what happens, it's all for the glory of God. That's what we need to do. Delight ourselves also in the Lord. That means to be happy in the Lord. That means we're supposed to have pleasure in whatever we're doing for God. Because we want the Lord to know that we're doing it for him because he does for us. Many people come to me with problems in their life, relationships, finances, work issues, you name it. And when I say to them, are you trusting God? They just don't know what to say to me. Many things happen. This world is so evil, wicked, they do things against us to cause us more and more problems and take our focus off of Christ. Because the devil's so good at it, he manipulates the world around us to draw us away from the Lord because he knows the closer we get to God, the more we read our Bible, the more you hear the word preached, the more you're going to dislike what he does and what he offers. The devil can't offer us anything that's going to last forever. But Christ offers us something that lasts forever, and that's our salvation. And that's a chance to be in heaven, enjoy life, be at peace. You think in your life, when you were at the most at peace, the most joyous, the most happiest times of your life. And if you want the same peace in your heart, that nothing can stop you, nothing can hold you back, not money, not clothing, not possessions, nothing. You're going to be free of all of the aggravation, all of the stress, all of the depression, all of the anxiety, all of the misery of life, all of the diseases. You're going to be happy at home with the Lord. And you have to be able to stand on what the book says, what God's word says to you. Trust in me. Trust in the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says in Proverbs 1:7. Why does it say that? Because it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto the head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That means don't go with them. Don't listen to the sinners. Put up with their foolishness. That's the devil trying to drag you into his web of confusion and get you to be upset and not be able to enjoy your day or enjoy your life. If you start focusing on the things that this world offers, you're going to have anxiety, you're going to have worry, concern, and depression, and he leads you away from trusting God to fix it. I want to live a life where I'm not concerned with all that. And I've been trying to do that for years and years now. And don't get me wrong, I am not perfect. I do fall backwards. I do, and guess what? The Lord has not let go of me. I used the same expression yesterday talking to a man about holding the motorcycle president's hand one day and pulling him in close and saying, the Lord never let go of me and he won't let go of you. All you got to do is trust him. And when I used that example and I explained that to somebody yesterday, I know it touched his heart. This past week, I got to witness to three people in the last week. In one day this past week, three people in one day, out of the blue, the Lord used me to share with a good friend of mine who knows Scripture. And then right after that, I picked up a hitchhiker, covered. When I tell you covered, I'm talking from the top of his hairline down through his neck, his arms, and God knows where else on his body, covered with tattoos. Why the Lord asked me to pick him up and give him a ride, other than to share the gospel with him. And then shortly thereafter, another gentleman on the side of the road, I happened to pull over because I'm starting to talk to him and his friend, lady friend. He comes down to help her work on this barn she bought. And I'm witnessing to him because why? Because he felt compelled to ask me one simple question. He said, when did you start doing this? And I said, what? He starts sharing the gospel, he said. So I give him the story, and I told him about how it happened for me. And there was another one not long ago asked me a question. I said, all I can tell you is it's like when the light went on for Paul. When Paul was blinded by the light, and then he was able to see. That's how it works. All of a sudden, I saw the light, and I said that to this girl back when. I said there was a time when all of a sudden the skies opened up, and I saw the light. And I said, I don't know if you know the story about Paul. And the girl said, no, I don't. I said, it's in the Bible. You can find it in Corinthians. It's called the Romans Way. I said, and Paul was a rotten guy. He was crucifying Christians. And all of a sudden, one day, God said, why are you doing that to my people? And he changed Paul's heart, and Paul became a different person, just like myself. I wasn't a good person. I was a rotten person. But one day, the Lord touched my heart, and guess what? Since then, I've been trusting him. Yeah, I'm human, I'm flesh, and you know the Bible says the spirit wars against the flesh against the spirit, and we have doubt from time to time because the devil can creep in because of the desires of our flesh versus the desires of our spirit. And if you look those up, folks, you'll see that, yes, we're normal. It happens, and that's why we have sin in our life, and that's why there are people that stand on the pulpit and other people will point their fingers at him and say, I know that man's a drunk. I know that man ran around with his secretary. I know that man did this. But yet they won't point their own fingers at themselves and say, I need to change. I need to trust in the Lord. I'm going to do right. God will take care of me. They're too busy putting their fingers out there and pointing their fingers at the Christians that are trying to do good. Hell, yes, we suffer. But I'm telling you, folks, trust in the Lord. Believe in your heart that he is there for you and he'll help you. I have one last song. I'm going to get off of here now. I want you to hear this. This is a good song, and it's only a minute and 33 seconds, so hopefully you'll get to hear it out. Come find me over on Facebook, William Preacher Bill Barnes. God bless you, and thank you for being here. Standing on the promises of God. God bless you all, and thank you for coming.
Standing on the promises of God.
bless you. Have a great day.